Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. In all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh our Elohim. It is a great pleasure to be able to give praises to the Most High in the little sanctuary that Yahweh has set for his people. I am your host this evening, Moray Obadiah Yisrael of the House of Yisrael, located in 1907 Vine Street. And this is nothing but the truth. And we're giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh. Now, who is Yah? Well, Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the Savior and the Redeemer of not just Israel, but of the entire world. And Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver, and Yahweh is our king, and he alone will save us. So we give all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yah. And let me say shalom to all of our family that are listening via the internet, whether it be Facebook, Blog Talk, or YouTube. For we know that the only reason why you're tuned in is because of your fear and your love towards the Holy One of Israel, Yahweh, our Elohim. And what will we be discussing this evening? Well, what we will be discussing this evening is a very interesting meditation that the Most High placed on it. And the meditation is many of our people in this time and season, and they have been asking, why? Why is particularly our people in the various plights and turmoil that we seem to be in? Why is it that the other nations can seem to prosper, can seem to come and be peaceable, and people can live peaceably with them? But why are our people affected so much? Why is the plight of our people so great? Why is it that we can be the landless and not the landowner? Why is it that we can be the tail and not the head? Why is this taking place? Is it because of this? Is it because of that? Why are we in the various plight that we suffer from today? And the answer is, quite simply, one word and one word only, and that's rebellion. See, when we read the testimony about Adam and about Hawa or Eve, when we read the testimony, it's vastly more important than what was the fruit they ate from. What was the fruit that they ate? The bottom line is they were commanded by the Most High to not eat of the tree of the knowledge and good of good and evil. This was a command that was given to Adam, and he told it to his wife. And they both rebelled against the Most High. And the serpent rebelled against the Most High. And for that, a great result took place. Now our people have the knowledge of the wisdom of good and evil. So now that means you have the choice now. Now that means that you are able to have the decision to discern whether you're going to go in the right path or whether you're going to go in the wrong path. Whether you're going to go into the ways of light or whether you're going into the ways of darkness. And our people may think this is what they would call free will. This is a beautiful thing to have the ability to make these decisions. But no, because the vast majority of the people will not make the right decision. They will not make the wise decision because their decisions will be based on their own desires. Their decisions will be based on their own pleasures, just like while our foreparents ate from the tree. It wasn't that they was using wisdom. It wasn't that they was using understanding. They just had a desire to eat from this tree, and they did so. So undoubtedly, we are in the position that we are in today because of rebellion. And there's a common misconception on rebelliousness with the nation of Israel. See, people may be under the impression that it takes everybody to rebel for Yahweh to say, I've had enough. It takes everybody to act up for Yahweh to say, this is enough. But undoubtedly, no, it doesn't. It says this in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. And the subject that we're dealing with this evening is the destroyer of good. And in the book of Ecclesiastics, the 9th chapter, I'm going to begin to read the 17th and the 18th verses. Ecclesiastes 9 and 17, it reads, "The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth amongst fools." And that's true. No matter how much we get on these internets, no matter how much we get in the midst of our people, no matter how many congregations we stand up in, the words of the wise, they heard in quiet. It's as almost as if you had said nothing. Or it's almost as if you got behind a microphone or a podium and you just whispered a whole, lesson, whispered a whole message, whispered a whole, an entire inspiration. Because the words of the wise are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth amongst fools. Because him that ruleth amongst fools, they going to scream. They going to yell. But they're not going to do it to enlighten. They're not going to do it to edify. They're not going to do it to magnify y'all. They're going to do it just to be heard. And that's all they want to do is they want to be heard. They want to be seen. That's why you see these so-called preachers. They get on camera. They got the flashy suits. They got the gator shoes on. They got a perm in their head. Or they got the bow tie with the bean pot steam on the side of them. Because really, they just want to be seen. Really, that's all they want to do is be seen. And they want to be heard by many, but they're not going to glorify the words of the Most High. And that's why the cry of him, that's why it's louder than those that cry amongst fools. Because everybody's complaining. Everybody's crying out. Everybody wants to know about this plight that Yah's people are going through. And in verse 18, it lets you know why we're going through it. It says, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good." So wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the thing we're supposed to be seeking after. Wisdom is what our forefathers should have been seeking after. But no. But because they didn't seek after wisdom, and they didn't know that wisdom is better than weapons of war. What wisdom is better than rubies and diamonds? Wisdom is better than having 10,000 wives. Wisdom is better than wanting to be desired by 10,000 men. Wisdom is better than all this. It exceeds above all of this. It's better than weapons of war. But it just takes one sinner, and it destroys much good. And that's what took place in the garden. That's what took place in the annals and testimonies of the scriptures. Turn with me into the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. And in the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter, I'm going to read the 7th verse. And this is when Cain became wroth, because Yahweh accepted his brother Abel's offering and not his. And he became vexed. And in verse 7 of the Genesis, the 4th chapter, it reads, and I'm going to start at verse 6. And it says, "And Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto you shall be his desires, and thou shalt rule over him." So Yahweh gave the resolve. Yahweh gave the solution. Yahweh said, look, all you have to do is do good, and you'll be accepted. And we're going to read later what Yahweh said is good. Yahweh said, look, if you do good, you'll be accepted. No matter how many of your offerings I rejected in the past, no matter how much I say I'll turn my back on you, if you do good, I'll accept you. Yahweh sees the work that people do in righteousness. Yahweh hasn't turned his ear or his eyes away from that, because Yahweh loves righteousness. Yahweh loves goodness. So if you do good, you'll be accepted. But understand this. If you do not do it, then you know that sin will lie at your door. And sin is at our doors every day, every moment, every second, every hour. It's at all of our doors. It's covering every corner. And every decision we make not to follow the Most High is a decision that we're making not to do well. It's a decision that we make not to do good. And that's why sin is lying at our doors, just waiting for us to botch it up. Just waiting for us to fall short so that it can come in and have dominion so that we can just rule over it. So now we're not doing the desires to do good. We're doing the desires of evil, the desires of wickedness. And all it takes is one individual to let sin in, and you will start to see much good being destroyed. And that's what we're in the midst of today, seeing much good being destroyed. Because no one is hearkening to the voice of Yahweh. Because no one is hearkening to the voice of his messengers who he's sending. Because no one is hearkening unto the words of his testimonies that Yahweh has put in his book, much good is being destroyed. And what is the counsel of Yahweh? Well, the counsel of Yah says this in the book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter. And in the book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter, I'm going to start reading at the fifth verse. Proverbs 4 and 5, it reads, "Get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep you." And then it says in verse 7, why? Why not forsake wisdom? Why not forsake understanding? Why not, when you obtain it, don't let go of it? Why not? Why is this so important? Yahweh lays it out in the seventh verse. Because wisdom is the principal thing. So wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the chief thing to obtain. It's not about getting all the cars you can get, all the clothes you can get, all the shoes you can get, have all the houses, have all the trinkets, have all the dainties, have all the women, have all the men, have all the children. You're missing the whole boat if you don't do any of these things or obtain any of these things without wisdom. Because wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all you're getting, get an understanding. And why is it important to get wisdom? Why is it important to get understanding? Well, because without these two ingredients, how are you going to be able to do good? How are you going to be able to discern? You won't. So you know what you'll do? You'll start sinning. And you know what your sin will start doing? It'll start to destroy much good. And you may think, well, just the action of one shouldn't affect the nation. You, your own individual. Don't the book say, if you be wise for yourself? And that's true. But you have to have wisdom. If you don't make wisdom your principal thing, how are you going to be wise for yourself? How are you going to be able to discern and say, look, this thing that you're doing is not good. These things that you're saying are not of Yahweh. I got to depart from this. How are you going to have the understanding to do any of these things if you're just going along with the troop? If you're just going along with the group? If you're just following the multitude? And Yahweh has already commanded us in the book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter, to not follow a multitude to do evil. So wisdom is the principal thing. And with all we are to get understanding. But understand that it doesn't take 2, 3, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000, 100,000, the whole nation. It doesn't take the whole nation to turn the whole fate of the whole nation. It just takes one sinner. And that one sinner can destroy much good. Turn with me to the book of Judges, the 17th chapter. And in the book of Judges, the 17th chapter, and I got to read this whole entire chapter. It's not that many verses, but I got to read the entire chapter because it's important to see all it takes is just one sinner, and they will begin to destroy much good. And we're going to read about it, and we're going to see it. And it reads in verse 1, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, about which you cursed, and spake of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be you of Yahweh, my son. And when he restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto Yah from my hands for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto you. So this woman was vexed. This woman was perplexed. This woman was cursing because she lost her shekels of silver. And her son returned it to her, and she said, Well, good. I will just go take this silver and make an idol. But now I'm going to give it unto you so you can do it. And let's read to see what took place. And it said, Yet he restored up to the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. So he gave the money back. And he said, Well, I'm not going to take your money, Emma. I'm not going to do that. So she just gave it to the original founder of it, and he made a graven image, and she still put it in her son's house. And the man Michael, verse 5, had a house of deities. So he had a whole house of false idols, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. So this man consecrated a man to be a priest to these false idols. In verse 6, in those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was wise and right in his own eyes. And isn't that what's taking place today? Don't they say, man, this is what makes America the greatest country in the earth? You're free to do whatever you want. If you want to serve an idol, you can. You want to make you an idol, you can. If you want to say there is no God and you just want to be a fool, you can. If you want to sleep with other men and you a man, that's fine. If you want to be a woman and lay with other women, that's fine. That's beautiful. That's freedom. That's liberation. All it takes is one sinner and much good destroyed. But let's continue reading. And it said, And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Yehuda, of the family of Yehuda, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Yehuda, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Yehuda, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said to him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver by year, and a suit of apparel, and your victuals. So the Levite went in. See, this goes to show you, as the old saying says, all money, just not good money. Just because you're being paid for a service, that don't mean that that's a service that you should be doing. That doesn't mean that's a service that you should be involving yourself in. But if you haven't grabbed the principal thing, which is wisdom, if you haven't grabbed understanding, then you're not even concerned with being discerning between whether this is a matter of good and evil. He just needed a place to stay, and the king told him, Look, well, you can come stay with me. I need you to be a father and a priest, and help with all this dedication that I'm doing to these false idols. All it takes is one sinner. And let's continue reading. And the Levite, Verse 11, was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that Yah will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to be my priest. So this man got a house full of idols. A house full of idols that he done dedicated to. And he said, well, look, now I know Yahweh go bless me, because I got me a Levite. And I know what the testimonies of the Levites are. Testimony of the Levites, they belong unto Yah. So I got me someone in my house that belongs unto Yah, I know Yah going to bless me. See, this is what happens when you don't get wisdom. This is what happens when you don't get understanding. This is what happens when you don't discern with knowledge. This is what happens when you don't hearken to wise counsel. This is what happens when you don't hearken to wise instruction. All you do is what they did in verse 6. And it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's what's taking place today. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. Every man is doing that which is wise in his own eyes. Every man is following after the imaginations of his own heart. Every man is following after the imaginations of his own way. When it comes to discerning between good and evil, when it comes to the discerning between those that serve Yahweh and those that serve not, man, there's no discernment at all. And we've come up in a society where they tell you not to judge. And no matter how wicked you are, you'll hear people say every day, well, I'm not going to judge you. I wouldn't do it, but I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. Yes, I know you molest children, but hey, I'm not going to judge you. Yes, I know you're doing something that's totally in opposition of mankind, but I'm not going to judge you. Yeah, I know that you go out there and murder and bring all type of detriment to your community, but I'm not going to judge you, man. I'm not the judge. Well, why did Yahweh give us the law? Why did Yahweh give us his statutes, judgments, and commandments? Maybe if we had wisdom and understanding, we would know that that's exactly what we have them for. But turn with me to the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter. And what are we discussing this evening? We are discussing the destroyer of much good. And all it takes is one sinner to destroy much good. And we have far more than one sinner in the earth today. But it's a reason why. Because all it took was one. All it takes is one rebel. All it takes is one rebel to stand up and survive, and next thing you know, you'll have a whole legion of rebels. Well, it really started off with just that one. It started off with Cain. And he had a whole family that didn't call on the name of Yahweh. Because all it takes is one sinner to destroy much good. You won't see the fruit that Abel would have brought forth because he was destroyed. And because he was destroyed, much good was destroyed. But let's continue reading. In Leviticus, the 26th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 27th verse. Leviticus 26 and 27 reads, and if you will not, for all this, hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then will I walk contrary unto you, also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And this is Yahweh pleading with his people, letting you know, if you do this, I'm going to punish you 7 times for your sins. But Yahweh says, look, I'm going to let you know the beginning from the ending. I'm going to let you know that the thing that's going to go before you is not good. I'm going to let you know that you're not going to be well. And he's going to keep on telling us in verse 29. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you, and I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savour of your sweet odors, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Look at all this darkness that Yahweh will bring upon our people for doing sin. Look at all the good that will be destroyed because of doing sin. Because we didn't hearken to the messengers that Yahweh sent forth. Why do you think the teachers been up here teaching about what's a servant, what's a king, what's a prophet? Because we've lost sight of all these positions. And now we just think that these positions are held at a standard due to the imaginations of our hearts. But we're not consulting Yah because much good has been destroyed. But let's continue reading. Verse 33. And I will scatter you amongst the heathens and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. See how rebelliousness and how sin destroyed much good? And now you have people saying we can't keep the Sabbath day because we're not in the land. And we was in the land, and we weren't letting the land keep the Sabbath. So if we weren't letting the land keep the Sabbath, you know we wasn't keeping the Sabbath. Because how you going to rest, but you're not going to remember to let the land rest? Yahweh gave a command. Yahweh rained down manna. And he said, look, you will gather this manna every day. But on the seventh day, don't come out of your quarters. You won't see the manna. But I will give you, on the fifth day, I will give you 3 days worth of manna. On the sixth day, I will give you double. So you will have plenty on the sixth day. So there will be no reason for you to leave your quarters and come out looking for manna, because I done doubled your blessing. And you know what happened? When the Sabbath day came in, there were some rebels that came out specifically for the purpose to look for manna. One sin destroys much good. And because one individual was tilling his ground when the land was supposed to rest, was eating from the vineyards when they wasn't supposed to do the seventh year, one sinner destroyed much good. Because we as a people, we have a very monkey see, monkey do mentality. If we see one person doing it, we're like, huh, I thought we weren't supposed to do that. Well, I'm going to start doing it too. And then someone besides you looking like, huh, those two doing it, nothing happening to them, I guess I'm going to start doing it too. And next thing you know, it just populates. And now iniquity have taken over. And now Yahweh say, look, I'm going to spew you out this land. And I'm going to give the land the rest that I intended for it. Since you didn't do it, I'm going to do it. Because you're not going to be there. And let's continue reading. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt on it. And it says, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. See, all this take place because one sinner destroys much good. And now we're running from a shaken leaf like we're running from a sword. And I know some out there, because I can hear the voice of the rebels, even if they're not talking. Like, man, I ain't running from nothing. Oh, yeah? Well, let the police get behind you. You know you got your license and registration. You know your tags are straight. But yet, when they get behind you and you see them flashing lights, you start thinking you have committed everything from murder to witchcraft. You don't believe that? Go into a neighborhood that you're not familiar with. or go to a neighborhood where the majority of the people know you're not supposed to be in. And every door you can hear open. Every window blind you can see pop open. Because this is the condition that Yahweh will put his people in. Because why? All it takes is for one sinner to destroy much good. And it can take you from a stable state to an unstable state. It will take you from a secured state to an unsecured state. And once you don't rebel against Yahweh, where's your security? How are you going to be bold as a lion? How are you going to be strong as the ox? You can't. Your strength is gone. Your protection is gone. Your shield is gone. And this is the state that Yahweh placed us in because one sinner, man, they destroy much good. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter. All it takes is one sinner. And it's ironic and it's unfortunate that a lot of the times the one sinner comes from a leadership position. It comes from the people. It comes from the individual that the people look up to. That's supposed to be the example. That's supposed to be the standard. That's supposed to be the one that say, "Nah, we're not going to indulge in this foolishness. We're going to do what Yah said. And we're going to do what exactly Yahweh sent his messenger to tell us to do. Because that's the agreement that we made. But all it takes is one. And it destroys much good. And we're going to read another testimony about much good being destroyed by the works of just one sinner. In the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, I'm going to start reading at the very first verse. In Exodus 32:1, it reads, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as much this man Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we won't not what it become of him." They said, "Look, Moses, we know what happened to this guy. He could be dead. He could be laying there in that mountain dead somewhere. And are we just supposed to stay still? We supposed to just stand here? Nah, man, make us a god so we could turn up." And then it says, "And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings." Now, Aaron was a high priest. Matter of fact, it's called the sons of Aaron. Yahweh said, "I will make Moses an Elohim, and Aaron to be your prophet." And here you see this man say, "Well, look, break off your rings and your jewels, and let me see if I can make some shake." Because all it takes is for one sinner to destroy much good. And verse 3 it reads, "And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be our Elohims, O Israel, which brought us up out of the land of Egypt." Now, you're going to sit there and say that something that you just seen made, that you had to give up your gold to get made, you're going to sit there and see something that can't breathe, can't eat, can't talk, can't think, can't smell, and you're going to say, "These are the deities that brought us up out of the land of Egypt." This is pure abominable. But let's continue reading. "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to Yahweh." So not only are you going to make these idols, but you're going to say that this is a feast to Yah. "And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down, they ate and drank and rose up to play. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Go, get you down, for your people which you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves, and they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten calf and worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy Elohims, O Israel, which have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. So even though Aaron dropped the ball, even though the children of Israel dropped the ball, Yahweh never dropped the ball, because Yahweh has already said that he has put his earth to record against every work that we've done. And Yahweh knew verbatim what we had done and why we had done it. And he said, get you down. Now you can have an understanding of what happened when Moses came down, because he thought a war had broke out. He thought it was a war and the camp had been compromised. No, but this wasn't the sound of war. This was a sound of rejoicing. This was a sound of celebration. This was a sound of playing. And a whole lot of whoring going that was taking place. And this is why Yahweh said, go down and check your people. Now, when Moses saw the works of the people, he became very vexed. And not only did he become very vexed, but the Ten Commandments that he had, the two stones with the Ten Commandment tablets that Yahweh wrote with his own finger, this man seen the abominations that was taking place, and he threw those commandments and break them. Then he went down and he broke the idol up. He stamped it real fine in the water and made the people drink of it, because he knew of the abominations that took place. He knew of the actions that had just took place. He knew that the whole nation of Israel at that moment should have been dead, should have been consumed in an instant. Therefore, he had to petition and go back up to the mountain and fast another 40 days and 40 nights for the sins of Israel. So not only did he have to go back up and get two tablets of stone, and Yahweh had to rewrite the Ten Commandments with his finger, but he had to petition by fasting 40 days and 40 nights for our sins. Now this man was doing this all because Yahweh willed him to. Now he going up there to study the gap for the rebellion. One sinner destroys much good. All that good that Moses was up there getting, all that good that Moses was up there receiving, one sinner and the act of a nation just destroyed that entire moment. He was ready to come down and celebrate and be joyful with the people. He was ready to show the people what Yahweh had wrote with his own finger, spoke with his own words. And all it took was just seeing our people turn up on some foolishness, and it just destroyed much good. And this is the condition that we are in today, people. This is the condition that we face today. And this is why Yahweh has to this as a testimony in the book of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And in the book of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, I'm going to read the 23rd verse. And it reads, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity and idolatry. But because you have rejected the words of Yahweh, he have also rejected you from being king. So the wisdom of Yahweh, let it be known. Man, rebelliousness is a sin of witchcraft. You might as well start casting some spells. You might as well start making up some potions. And stubbornness, it has iniquity and idolatry. So not hearkening to the words of Yahweh, not bowing your ears to the messages that Yahweh have sent forth, who come in the name of Yahweh, with word of Yahweh, man, you might as well go out there and you build a gold idol. You might as well fan your hand when the messenger of Yahweh is speaking. because this is what stubbornness, this is what stubbornness looks like. It's like someone talking, it's like your emo, it's like your mother, your father talking to you. And they telling you, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. Get all this done by the time I get home, and you look at them and say, I didn't hear that. That's exactly what it looks like when you ignore the words of Yah. And that's exactly what it looks like when we ignore the words of Yahweh's messenger. That's what the stubbornness looks like. You might as well be holding up a crucifix. You might as well be holding up a crucifix, and you might as well be eating a pork chop sandwich. Because the stubbornness looks just as abominable as doing both of those things. And those are things that are being committed daily. And all it takes is one sin, and much good is destroyed. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, the 14th chapter. Because what I am showing you is what does it look like when one sinner and much good being destroyed. Because we can read these all day, and we can say we got it, but no, we need to see these things. These things need to be up close and personal. This is what we need to see. And in the book of Jeremiah, the 14th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 11th verse. And it reads, Then say Yahweh unto me, Pray not this people for their good, because they're doing no good. And when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblations, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine. And by the pestilence. And since our people want to say, are no prophets. There are no prophets in the world today. That's what they will proclaim. If you ask them what this individual was, they'll say, well, he was a good teacher, but he wasn't no prophet. If you ask who this individual is, they say, well, he's a good teacher, but he's not no prophet. Well, is he bringing forth secrets? Is he bringing forth the covenants of Yah? What qualifies a man as a messenger of Yahweh is not the same qualification that you're measuring up, because as Moray Isha brought out last night, our people are expecting a bunch of magic tricks. We expected the cape to come out and water to gush out the cape, and lambs and seagulls and bugles to fly out the cape. And then while that's happening, you got one side of the room light. The other side is complete darkness. And then you got roaches and bugs crawling up from the, all this foolishness. Really, do you bear the message that Yahweh has sent unto you? Well, then you a messenger of Yahweh. Has Yahweh given you a message to bring up to the people? Well, then you are a messenger of Yahweh. But let's read. It says, Then said I, Yahweh, behold, the prophets say unto them, You did not see the sword, neither shall you have famine. But I will give you a short peace in this place. Is that what they're saying today? Man, don't listen to what they talking about in 1907 Vine Street. This 400 years ain't happening now. Man, the 400 years already done happened. Man, the 400 years is never going to happen. Man, don't let them stop you. Man, turn up. You keep working. You keep drinking. You keep smoking. You keep going out being and whoremongering. You keep making a whole idea. Man, don't worry about all that. We get to that later. Don't let nobody stop you from living. And this is what Yahweh's judgment is. It says, Then Yahweh said unto me, The prophets, they prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not. Neither have I commanded them. Neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught. And the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land, but by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, nor their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour out their wickedness upon them. So Yahweh saying the very thing that they saying, I'm not going to do, that's how they're going to be consumed. And by the very assurance that they giving you that my judgment is not coming, that's the judgment that's going to have you outside of the streets of Jerusalem. So the very judgment that Yahweh has placed on this people is the judgment that they're saying is not coming, or it's not coming yet, or it's already happened. It's already happened. So you don't have to worry about what they're talking about, because Yahweh going to come when he feel like coming. Yahweh going to come and smite when he feel like smiting. He just gave that date out. That was just a guess. He said 400, but he really meant 800. Well, look at what Yahweh told Abraham in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. Because just as sure as these messengers are assuring the people that Yah's wrath is not coming, Yahweh is just as sure and much more assured that his wrath is coming. And in the book of Genesis, 15th chapter, I'm going to start in the 13th verse. It reads, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. So Yahweh already knew. He said, look, know for a surety. You don't have to have no doubt in your heart or your mind that this judgment is going to take place. Your seed is going to be a stranger in the land, and they're going to be afflicted, and they're going to serve for 400 years. But don't worry, because when they come out, the nation that I'm going to judge that nation for what I took them out the midst of, and they're going to come out with a great substance. Why is this to be assured? Why is this confidence? Because who knows Yahweh's people more than Yahweh himself? And Yahweh knew that we was going to rebel. Yahweh knew we was going to transgress. Yahweh knew we was going to turn our back from the Most High. And all it takes is for the actions of one, and much good would be destroyed. So when it take the whole nation turn into idolatry, when it take the whole nation turn into whoredom, all it took is for the actions of one, and much good to be destroyed. Because once that one made it, another one followed, and so on and so forth. And much good was destroyed. That's why wisdom has to be your principal thing. And with all you get into understanding. Because if you don't, how are you going to be able to know how to do good? And if you don't know how to do good, then all you're going to be doing is destroying much of it. Turn with me to the book Job 28. In the book of Job, the 28th chapter and the 28th verse, it reads, then did he see it? No. It says, unto man he said, behold, the fear of Yahweh, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. No wonder we have to get wisdom and understanding. Because how are you going to ever serve Yah if you don't fear Yah? It's impossible. People are trying to do it today, and they make it up their own doctrine, and they're adding to the words of Yah, and they're diminishing from the words of Yah. Why? Because they don't walk in the fear of Yahweh. They don't put their fear in Yah. Yahweh is not their fear, nor is he their dread. He's just a symbol. It's like wearing a badge at your job. You're like, okay, so you a servant of Yah. Yep. You going to bow down to this idol? Nah, my Elohim told me not to bow down to this idol. And they pull out a sword and pull it to your neck. And they say, you going to bow down to this idol? Well, you know, Yahweh knew that we were in captivity, and he did say we would serve other gods. So I, for this moment, because the fear of Yah is not with you. The fear of Yahweh is not in you. So therefore, you wouldn't even know how to depart from evil. That's why wisdom has to be the principal thing. And with all you get to get an understanding. Because without those two ingredients, without those two main ingredients, you won't know how to do good. And if you won't know how to do good, you won't destroy much good. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, 12th chapter. Because there's so much evil that's taking place in the world today. Because Yahweh said that he handed the world over to the hands of the wicked. With so much evil that's taking place, you don't have to just pick out one sinner. Because it's a whole nation of sinners. It's a whole legion of sinners that rebel against the words of the Most High, that speak great words against the Most High. So you can pick any nation, and you can see the wickedness in them. And the wickedness in their words, the wickedness in their ways, the wickedness in their thoughts, and the wickedness in their hearts. Because why? Now sin has just populated. And now sin has become this plant that has embedded itself to grow around the entire house. And now there's no section you're going to go through where you don't see it. And why is this taking place? Why do our people have so many problems discerning today as in times past? Because of this. In the book of Psalms, the 12th chapter, and the 8th verse. In Psalm 12 and 8 it reads, the wicked, they walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. So when the vile men are exalted, when the base men are exalted, when the low men are exalted, when the egregious are exalted, when you got Trump in office, when you got Bush in office, when you got Obama in office, when you got Clinton in office, when you got Washington in office, when you got the vilest men being exalted, man, the wicked walking on every side, they say, but I feel like I'm home now. No wonder you got so many people saying they don't want to leave Babylon. That this can't be the end of captivity. Because the vilest men are being exalted. You could be a vile man and get promoted. You could be a vile man and get risen to prominence. You could be a vile man and be the head of Babylon. And that's all you're going to have is a bunch of wicked walking on each side. Because they're in a temperature that they feel comfortable at. They're in a place where they feel comfortable. But is this the position that Yahweh wants his people acting and thinking and meditating in? Absolutely not. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. And in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and the very first verse, it reads, he that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. But when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked their rule, the people mourn. And that's all you see is mourning. You may see a rash of people that are celebrating. Well, that's because they the wicked. Vile men being exalted. Wicked are on every corner. Telling you, man, this is beautiful. This is progress. This is what God intended. But when the righteous rule people, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoicing. Because they know I don't have to deal with no false balance. I don't have to deal with no abominations. I don't have to worry about you exacting usury upon me. I don't have to worry about you taking my wife. I don't have to worry about you taking my house or taking my things. Because Yahweh done gave me my inheritance. This belongs unto me. I don't have to worry about that. But when the wicked rule, when the wicked are in authority, man, the people mourn. Because everything that you thought that you don't have to worry about, you have to worry about now. Used to be if you walk up and down the street and an axe came flying out the woods and maimed a man and he died, that the man just for the act, even though he didn't do it purposely, but just for the act that he slew another man, now he had to go into the city of refuge. And he had to stay there until the main priest, to the high priest died. Why? Because it was even an accident, but he still took the life of another man. And you're not going to just be walking the streets, and the family of this man just see you walking the streets, living your life, smiling every day, drinking water, eating good. No, they blood wax hot like, man, my family member don't get to do that. My family don't get to drink that water. They don't get to taste those grapes, and they blood wax hot upon you, and they place their hands upon you. And that's just if you committed manslaughter. But now look at the predicament that we in today. Now they can murder you on purpose, and not only get off, but be better compensated for murdering you than when they did before they murdered you. And all this does is just lead to a bunch of mourning, a bunch of lamenting, a bunch of sorrow, a bunch of grief. So the whole nation should be fasting. The whole nation should be ceasing from eating and drinking. The whole nation should be breaking off their bands of wickedness. But they not, because they not inspired. Because they not trying to do good. All they trying to do is destroy it. And this is the condition that Yahweh said that he will place us in. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter. And in the book of 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, because we are to hearken unto wise counsel. We are to hearken unto the wisest counsel that we can ever receive, and that's the counsel of Yahweh. What has the counsel of Yahweh led us to know? What has the counsel of Yahweh led us to believe? And what has the counsel of Yahweh led us to understand? Well, Yahweh let us know this. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, and the 14th verse, it reads, "If you will fear Yahweh and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandments of Yahweh, then shall both you and your king that reigns over you continue to follow Yahweh, your Elohim." So Yahweh say, look, all you got to do is keep the commandments of Yahweh. You and your king a follow on to serve Yah. But there's always another side to the coin. In verse 15, "But if you not obey the voice of Yah, but rebel against the commandments of Yahweh, then shall the hand of Yahweh be against you as it was against your fathers." And this is what condition we are in today. Because one sinner destroyed much good. One sinner said, "I will not hearken to the voice of Yah. I will not follow the commandments of Yah. I will not have no respect for the king that Yahweh done chose. I'm not going to do it." And the house was split. And that's what causes the house to split today. Good. Being destroyed. Because of one sinner. People say, man, the house of Israel used to be so strong. How did it split apart? Because of one sinner. Like, male household used to be beautiful. I used to look at you. You was the example of husband and wife. What happened? One sinner. Be like, man, your children used to be so mild-mannered, and they were so respectful. What happened? One sinner. Be like, man, I remember when your diet used to be on point. I used to go to you and just ask you what to eat, and I knew whatever you said to eat, it had to be clean. But now I see you eating McDonald's and all these other fads. What happened? One sinner. And now much good is destroyed. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Because what are we discussing? The destroyer of much good. And it doesn't take many. One sinner can destroy much good. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, 14th verse. And it says, and thou shalt not go aside from any other words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other deities to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And that's why these curses are upon us today. Because of one sinner. That's all it takes. Is one sinner. And now all these curses are upon the nation. All it took was one rebel. One sinner. To say, I want to add to the word of Yah. Or I want to take away from the word of Yah. And then they became inspired to do so, and now you have the New Testament. Now you have the Quran. Now you have the Hadiths. Now you have the coming forth of the book of day and night. Now you have all these so-called philosophers and doctors coming out with books talking about the psychological psyche of the black man and black woman and want to come up with all these hypotheses. And want to come up with all these theories, all these serums, when in actuality, the reason why the black man and black woman are destroyed today is because all it took was just one sinner, and much good was destroyed. And Yahweh already warned us that this would take place. Yahweh already warned us that this would happen. Yahweh already gave us the diagnosis on the prescription of rebelliousness, and we didn't hearken to it. Therefore, we are ensnared in the snares of rebellion every day. We are reminded of our iniquity every day. We are reminded of our sins every day. And some people may say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Why is it the actions of what my father did? Why is that falling on me? I mean, I can't believe that a man died for my sins. Well, how come I got to pay for what my fathers did? Because there's some things that happened in the scriptures that took place that me, as an individual, I've never done. But my forefathers did it. And it's a reason why it fell on me. And it's a reason why it's falling on you. It's a reason why it's falling on all of us. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. In the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 5th verse, it reads, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy in thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Because Yahweh will visit the iniquities upon the third and fourth generation. Why? Because the generation that's committing the sin, they may have been blessed. And that which is Yahweh has blessed, he's not going to curse. But that which is Yahweh have cursed, he's not going to bless. So Yahweh balanced. So if that generation was blessed, it's not going to fall upon them. But it'll fall upon the generation that you will not come under. Because Yahweh will visit the iniquity of fathers to the third and fourth generation. And those iniquities that were committed then will fall upon us. Just like the iniquities that we commit, that we think Yahweh don't see, that we think that Yahweh not paying no attention. No, just it may not, the judgment may not fall in your generation. It may fall in the generation after you. So it may be visited upon your son's son or your son's daughter. Because this is the judgment of Yahweh. And you may still be saying, well, that don't seem right. But the Most High said a false balance is an abomination to Yahweh. Now, if your forefather was wealthy, a billionaire, and they came to you and they said, well, look, your forefather has so much wealth, he has accumulated so many riches that naturally you inherit this. So all of his wealth belongs unto you. Now, would you stand back and say, man, that just don't seem right. That don't seem right at all. I didn't work for that. I didn't earn that. Nah, take that. Give it to someone that deserves it. Or would you just be like, yeah, praise the mighty Yah. I take all that. Now we about to go. We about to turn up tonight. Well, how come we can't have the understanding that Job had? He said, look, can we receive good at the hand of Elohim and not receive evil? Because Yahweh is balanced. And all his works are balanced. And all his judgments are balanced. And that's why the iniquities of the fathers are visited upon the third and fourth generation of those that hate Yahweh. But Yahweh also said he will show mercy unto the thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. Because that generation may be cursed. That generation may be in gross darkness, but they see that the one that put them in that situation, they got to serve if they want this reversed. And they refuse to go to their grave and take their Elohim names in vain. Yahweh say he will show them mercy. So if you want mercy, you want love, you want compassion, you want privilege, then stop doing sin. Because one sin, one sinner, they can destroy much good. Now, it's one thing to do a sin and you be ignorant to the fact of it. But when you know it's sin, oh, man, that's grievous. That's rottenness to the bone. And it only takes place because one sinner rose up and wanted to rebel against the Most High, wanted to trespass against the Most High, and for that, much good is destroyed. And they'll look and they'll say, well, that didn't fall on me. It's all good. That didn't fall on me. I'm making whores out of women every day. I'm defiling the Sabbath day every day. I'm not keeping none of the laws. And I'm fine, baby. I just went to the hospital. I went to the doctor. My blood pressure, 112 over 80. Doctor said, whatever you doing, keep on doing. But like, yeah, I'm going to keep on rebelling against this God you calling on. And why would you have a mentality like that? Why would you have a sense of non-urgency like this? Well, because it says this in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 11th and 12th verse. And it reads, because sentence against the evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So because you defiled the Sabbath day and you didn't die right there, and that's what the rebels are asking today. Well, if we could keep the Sabbath day, then what happens for those that don't keep the Sabbath? We used to could just kill them. We can't do that now. So therefore, since they're not keeping the Sabbath, I'm not going to keep the Sabbath. One sin and destroy much good. But because they see that the sentence against the evil work isn't expedient. Because they think y'all working on their time. We think Yahweh working on our time. Man, this man offended me. Yahweh, you need to take care of him now. Man, this woman offended me. You need to take care of her now. Man, Yahweh, you know I worked hard at this job and they fired me anyway. You need to take care of this now. Yahweh don't work on your time. Yahweh doesn't work on my time. Yahweh works on judgment. And judgment comes from Yahweh. And Yahweh created time. So he working on his time. And if Yahweh said it's going to be tomorrow, it'll be tomorrow. If Yahweh say it'll be 10 years from now, it'll be 10 years from now. If Yahweh says it'll be a generation from now, it'll be a generation from now. And if Yahweh says it'll be 400 years, then it'll be 400 years. That's why it says in verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear Elohim, which fear before him. So those that fear Yah know, okay, you can have your fun today. You can laugh and mock today. But the same laughing and mockery that you do today, you'll be turned into dust. And if I'm in the count of the righteous, I'll be walking over you with my feet. Because one sinner can destroy much good. But on the flip side, what happens when one person that's good wants to do that which is lawful and right in the eyes of the Most High? And we're going to see that all it takes is one. Turn me to the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter. And in the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 9th verse. And it reads, he that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayers shall be an abomination. So watch who you got praying for you. Watch who you associating yourself with. Watch who you hanging around. Watch who you affiliating with. Because they running around doing transgressions against the Most High, committing iniquities against the Most High. And you being the companion with them, and you think Most High going to spare you and slay them? Well, if that's in his judgment, but you ought to have the wisdom and understanding to be able to discern, to know, man, you do great works against the Most High. I can't affiliate myself with you. I can't associate myself with you. I reject everything that you're doing, and I'm just not going to be around it. I'm not going to be accepting of it. And you're going to start seeing your friends get fewer and fewer. And you may feel like you're the only one in it. But Yahweh said, Yahweh is looking for quality. He's not looking for quantity. So don't think because you're in the congregation where it's over thousands of people that means you're in the congregation of the righteous. No, because Yahweh dealing with quality. Yahweh's not looking for quantity. And the wicked that continues to sin against the Most High, and they find a delight in it to the point that we're going to turn their whole foot from the Most High and from hearing the word of Yah, it said even his prayers should be an abomination. And as we was learning this weekend, that's one of the righteous sacrifices to make unto Yahweh is praying. Now, what are you to do when your prayers are an abomination to Yah? Are you a companion with someone whose prayers are an abomination to Yahweh? And how do you know you associating with these people? Well, hopefully, you'll be able to know from hindsight by standing back and not being with them when it happens. But this is how you know. In the book of Proverbs, 13th chapter. And in the book of Proverbs, the 13th division and the 20th verse, it reads, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." So you just start looking, you just start seeing all these people you're running with, they being destroyed. And it may be hints to let you know to get away from them so that you can be spared. But just a whole bunch of bad faith start coming around your companions. One man may have lost his job. Other man may have lost his house. Other man just losing everything. And you're like, man, y'all have had these things for years. Why is everything around you being destroyed? And why is it when you praying unto Yah, the destruction just increases? Well, maybe that's a warning for you to get away from them, because a companion of fools are going to be destroyed. Not maybe be destroyed. Not the possibility of being destroyed, they will be destroyed. So it's very imperative, it's very important that we look after the company that we keep. And Yahweh put that inspiration on the hearts of man. Ever had certain friends when you was coming up and your parents be like, "I like him. I just don't like him. Something about him." And sure enough, he always in trouble. He always in trouble. He always getting into something. It's always a drama, because Yahweh done gave that individual a spirit to discern to say, "That's a fool. Get away from them before you be destroyed with them." Because all it takes is for one sinner and much good to be destroyed. So that's all it takes is for one sinner. You walking around with them. You talking with them. You counseling with them. Next thing you know, you in the grocery store, you in there to get some things to buy, they in there robbing the place. Now both fouled in cuffs. And they done gave him 30 years, and they done gave you 20 years for being an accomplice. Why? Because you've been running with a companion of fools. And you're going to be destroyed if you do, if you keep running with them and keep associating with them. I know some of them may look like you. I know some of them may raise friends like you. Some of them may even say hallelujah. And some of them may even go into the sanctuaries of Yah. But all you got to do is look at their works. And if their works reek of foolishness, and their judgments is just reeking of the falling of the foolish, then get away from them. Because all it takes is for one sinner to destroy much good. Because Yahweh made it that way. Because like I said, all the works of Yahweh are judgment. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter and the 6th verse, it reads, "For you are a holy people unto Yahweh your Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim have chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of this earth." So it's the reason why you got to watch the company you keep. Watch who you being companions with. Watch who you associating with. Watch who you marrying into. Because Yahweh done severed us from all the families of the face of this earth. Yahweh done severed us. Now you may say, why is that fair? Why is it that that nation can commit abominations and they get punished years later, but I'm getting punished right on sight? Because Yahweh done separated you. And Yahweh done said that this is the reason why this is taking place. If you turn with me to the book of Amos, the third chapter. And in the book of Amos, the third chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the very first verse. Amos 3 and 1, it reads, "Hear this word that Yahweh have spoken against you, O children of Israel, and against the whole family whom I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all of your iniquities." So you know why the brunt is falling on you. You know why the plight is so heavy on you. You know why the burden is so heavy on you. You know why you going through it and the other nations don't seem to go through it. Because Yahweh will judge those nations. But rest assured that Yahweh will punish us for all of our iniquities. Because Yahweh has said we're the only one out of all the families of the earth. He known. Therefore, that's why he's punishing us for all of our iniquities. Because all it takes is one sinner to destroy much good. That's all it takes. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter. In Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter, I'm going to start reading at the very first verse. And this is speaking about the last king that Israel ever had. It's a king named Zedekiah. And it says in verse 1, Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. So the last king that ever reigned in the nation of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh. And why did he do evil in the sight of Yah? Because he didn't keep up the standard that was set up. He didn't keep up with the standard that was set by King David. And since all the sons of King David failed and didn't keep up the standard that King David gave and set up, the throne returned back to him. That's why they called the throne of David. And that's why Yahweh said this in the book of Hosea, the third chapter. In the book of Hosea, the third chapter and the fourth verse, it reads, "For the children of Israel died many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim. And afterwards, the children of Israel return and seek Yahweh, their Elohim, and David, their king. And shall fear Yahweh and his goodness in the latter days." Because the goodness that can't be destroyed is the goodness of Yahweh. That's one goodness that cannot be destroyed. No matter how much they add to the book of Yahweh or take away from his book, they can't destroy the goodness of it. No matter how many characters they want to put in the steed of Yahweh, They can't, because Yahweh's goodness can't be destroyed. His goodness is not only to be sought, but it's to be feared, because it's a power all within itself. And Yahweh said, we're going to fear him and his goodness in the latter days, because that's a goodness that just simply can't be destroyed. But what is this good that Yahweh is commanding of us today? Turn with me to the book of Micah. In Micah, the 6th chapter. In Micah 6, and verse 8, it reads, he has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does Yahweh require of you, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Elohim. This is what Yahweh has commissioned for his people to do. This is what Yahweh has commanded for his people to do. This is the good that Yahweh said that his people ought to do. And if we do this, because wisdom is a defense, this could be a defense and a combatant to all their sins, transgressions, and iniquity that's been taking place and being done in the world today. So don't fret because you're seeing evildoers prospering. Don't envy the oppressor, and don't choose none of his ways, because one sinner can destroy much good, but those that stand with Yahweh can do good and destroy much evil. And this is what Yahweh is looking for in the book of Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. It's the last scripture. In Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, and the 30th verse, it reads, and I sought for a man amongst them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. So if one sinner can destroy much good, then that means it has to be one righteous that can stand for the good and destroy evil. So why would people say it's going to take all of the nation of Israel to do good, to return back home, when that's not the criteria or the standard that Yahweh has set up? The standard that Yahweh has set up, he said he's looking for one that will stand in the gap. Now what you must ask yourself, are you willing to be that individual? Are you willing to stand in the gap for those who are not able to? Or will you be that one sinner that destroys much good? Well, I can assure you, if you'll be that destroyer, you will be, in times to come, just like unto it, destroyed. So be wise, get wisdom, get understanding, and let us depart from evil. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.